Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everybody. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your host for today on this edition of Senior Focus. And it's about this time of the year, which gets rather frantic. And there's lots of functions to go to. And as I was out last evening at a community awards dinner, it was all about the volunteers. And I thought, that's the world of Grey Power too. We're an organisation that's grassroots. Everyone works as a volunteer, whether it's the president or the secretary or the people who put out the seats at the meetings. So we're all volunteers, and we're all basically committed to doing what we do as service. And it's with that spirit of service that is something that I guess for some people, they view it as a mug's game. They kind of think, oh, why would you bother doing that? You're not getting paid. But we're getting paid, actually, a hundredfold in the soft stuff, the emotional satisfaction, the empathy with fellow human beings, the sense of connectedness in our communities. And up and down the country, there are 75 Grey Powers with all these meetings and activities going on all on a voluntary basis. And that's quite tremendous, really, when you think about it. Nearly 70,000 people just in our organisation alone, and there are over 100,000 charities that are registered in New Zealand, of which a lot of them have volunteers. One of the things that's really exciting me is the research that's coming into view saying the health of organisations actually depend on their volunteers, not just to get the work done, but the most healthy organisations are the ones that have no difficulty attracting their volunteers. They have no difficulty making sure that they've got programs that attract the volunteers, because they plan for it, because they have policies in place to make sure the volunteers are looked after from a health and safety point of view, that there are vouchers and things to help them top up with petrol. There are sometimes outings or special events put on in their favour just to thank them. And I think it's that general wraparound approach to looking after the volunteers, which is a feature of volunteering in organisations today, which was perhaps different in earlier times. So reflecting on that got me thinking about how important it is that people don't take volunteers for granted, how important it is that people also recognise that boundaries can be crossed, that people can get stressed about their roles, that clarity about what they're doing and about their tasks and feedback on how they're doing it and gratitude for what they are doing. All these things become incredibly important because the volunteers are in a workplace, whether it's on-site in an office, whether it's out in the community at other events, whether it's out in the outdoors taking groups away on trips into the bush. It's every one of those situations is a workplace from the point of view of health and safety. So this makes planning for anything in Grey Power quite a different exercise from what it was when Grey Power originated 30 years ago. And we're going to have a strategy meeting shortly this coming month, purely to reflect on our processes and look at what things we might need to put in place or what things we need to sharpen as we're in a new environment and as we work to attract people 50 to 65 who I have got some concerns about the moving into older age, moving into a future that's different, looking at how they might want to readjust their workload or their living conditions or downsize or whatever. There are so many choices, and there are pitfalls, and there are ways and that people, or things that people need to think about carefully. I've heard of people who've retired early and left town and then found it's very difficult to buy back into Auckland when they want to be close to grandchildren, or other people who've blown a lot of money travelling but then have come back and prices have risen and they've actually thought, well, where I'm living isn't suitable, and when they go to look for what they want, it's too expensive, and it's very difficult to get mortgage finance as you get into an over 50 bracket. So all of these things press and weigh on people's minds, and part of our job is to consider our members' well-being. And it's not just the volunteers when they're volunteering, but it's to help people have opportunities to raise these issues, to talk with others, because that's where you get ideas. It's where you get to think about things that maybe wouldn't enter your head left to your own devices. I know I've been challenged by some of the things that people have said, and I thought, fancy doing that. But then I thought about it, and it made sense to me, and I thought, oh yeah, there's real merit in what they're doing. So it's often a case of listening carefully and just being aware that more thought put into planning can have better outcomes. So one of our members was approaching us about financial investments in KiwiSaver and that, and saying, well, there's not enough protection for people. It's not like having a guaranteed government super like they have in Australia. And so as he began to unravel some of the things that have happened to people and their money and New Zealand, with finance companies and so on, collapsing. And he said, well, look, KiwiSaver's really quite vulnerable in some areas. I mean, we've got too many different options, and people don't understand that if they go for the default option, they're actually getting less money than they get in a savings account in a bank. So they're not actually really saving for their retirement, not effectively. They're losing money because inflation is actually going to outstrip whatever they get from that KiwiSaver. So as he spoke, I thought, yes, we could be next year looking at running seminars for people. And so in this program, it gives me an opportunity to air things that perhaps I wouldn't have a chance with our wider audience on a normal basis, other than through a magazine. And those people who don't find it easy to read these days because their eyes are not what they were, they can actually be stimulated by this program. And that's why we want to hear more feedback from people who are listening, because we want to know what topics you're interested in, what topics you want us to bring people into the studio to discuss, because we can have something not akin to talk back, but we can have a discussion group live in the studio. And that's my aim, to do that next year. And I welcome sort of topics and opportunities for us to open the program out more to wider interests. And doesn't have to be just Grey Power people. I mean, Grey Power is sponsoring this program, but it's about the senior community. And we certainly know from what's been done around the age-friendly city that many seniors feel isolated, many don't feel heard, and many lack an opportunity to have a voice and have an audience. So this would be a very exciting way to do that. If you wish to give us feedback on the program, or come into the studio yourself and help us make a program, I suggest you contact me, Anne Marie, spelt N-A-N-N-E-M-A-R-I-E dot Koury, C-O-U-R-Y, that is, at gmail.com. Now, I think it's time we chilled a bit and had some music, and I like to listen to jazz just simply because it has that unexpected syncopated rhythm. It has that way of being very mellow, and Miles Davis is one of my favourite artists, so I've just selected a track, Blue Haze. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
back, everyone. And this is Auckland Grey Power, and I'm your host for today. Auckland Grey Power is the sponsor, and this is Senior Focus. Now, if you just joined us, I've talked a little bit about volunteerism today. Volunteers being the lifeblood of community in New Zealand, they're the strongest people working in terms of building community. Now, what I want to talk about in this part of the program more is just in terms of planning for older age, how people might begin to think about their senior years. And when I first started working about 6 years ago within the context of the senior community, I didn't know that much about seniors. I thought I did, but really, as it transpires, I didn't know that much. I'd had some experience of helping people in their palliative care time, preparing to die. I'd had some experience with some very wonderful people who just lived life to the full, and they had goals and they set goals and they achieved those goals. And one of those people I've talked about in other programs, about a woman who did a degree starting with when she was 62, and she studied 8 languages, finished her BA when she was 80, and she was just awesome. Not because she was studying, but because she was so determined, and she took that achievement seriously, and she plodded away enjoying it very much, savouring each language she studied and enjoying all the camaraderie and the student life, because she was an excellent coffee maker. And of course there weren't cafes around, so people came to her house to have coffee, and that was how she studied and did tutorials and so on. And even the lecturers dropped in. It was a remarkable environment. Something we are so accustomed to having coffee in coffee bars and cafes that we can drop in on. We wouldn't think of this environment because we don't know that New Zealand, but that's what New Zealand was like when she started in the 70s at university. Now, lots of people have really exciting lives in the second half of their life, sometimes better than the first half. And I've been thinking about, why is it? Is it just genes? Is it just good fortune? Are these people really exceptional in some way? Have they really planned this, or has it happened that they've just stumbled across this because they're more adventurous and more creative in how they live their life? So these are questions that fascinate me, and I continue to observe and dialogue with people about this. But one of the things that is very sad on the flip side is when people lose their connectivity, they lose their connection to the community, and it may be because the bus stop gets moved and the bus route goes and it's no longer easy to get out. It may be because their family moves away. Their family may go and live in another country, and they're the last of the family in New Zealand. Or it may be because they lose a partner, and that's such a traumatic business when you've lived a long number of years with a person and shared so much with them that it's quite difficult to get through that grief. There can be all sorts of reasons why people disengage, and it seems to be quite a natural thing for some people to just say, well, I no longer want to go out and mix with people. I no longer want to struggle because my hearing isn't as good as it was. I can't really follow what's going on, or I can't bother making the effort. I feel tired. All sorts of thoughts go on and through people's heads. But I have seen a difference when people click with something that they feel passionate about. It may be something they did when they were much younger. It may be something they always wanted to do but never quite gave themselves permission because they never felt they had the time or the freedom to elect to have that time. There are many, many reasons why people steer in a different direction. But the second half of life, post 50, post 60, there are choices that open up. And these days, people have a better standard of living overall. So it does give them opportunities that perhaps were not open to younger age groups. People were tired out. I mean, the average age that people lasted to was early 60s, about the time of the Second World War. So most people died by their early 60s. And now it's the mid-80s, but very soon it will be more like the mid-90s. And there are exceptional people lasting over 100, and there are more and more of them. So this spreading out of older age and of the community means that we've got three or four generations across the community. And so planning isn't really for a one-stop change. It's really, actually, you're going to transition several times. Women have, because of having children and changing in and out of the workforce, they're a bit more flexible about transitions because of their life experience. But people who had different careers and changed careers and that were considered slightly suspect, I think, 20 or 30 years ago, and anyone who could be both practical with their hands and also be, say, a lawyer or university lecturer was considered slightly strange, because somehow you expected to be one thing, not two things. But now people are multi-talented, and they're actually giving strength to that, and they're actually allowing themselves to follow things, whereas they might not have given themselves that permission early on. So this year I've interviewed on the program men from the Shed, which is the complex in Gribblehurst Park in central Auckland, which is designed for both men and women to come and do handiwork, to make things out of wood, to use machines and tools and share that environment together. Rather than each having tools of their own at home, they can come into a common environment and share those tools, and then they don't have to house them and they don't have to replace them and buy them and so on. They're all owned collectively. And that's a very successful way of people branching out and actually exploring working with those tools, perhaps when they've never done it before, and finding plenty of people to mentor them and coach them and encourage them, all within that community. So when we talk about building community, that we're not just talking about helping people feel they belong in a place or that they might be part of it, but we're talking about having a known group of people that you can have a conversation with, that you can talk about what's going on for you, how you feel about things, that you can share aspects of your life and feel that you belong. And it's that sense of belonging that's really important. So sometimes as people age, they find they lose friends, or they move from their workplace and they lose that sense of identity. So the belongingness is under threat. And that's what we mean when we mean about transitioning. It's transitioning from one space to another, from one place to another, from one identity that shapes us to a more broader identity. And perhaps weaving aspects that we've kept hidden or out of view, cultural aspects that we haven't owned fully. And then that belonging becomes richer. It becomes like a tapestry with some loose threads here and there, but a lot of bold colour and a lot of flow through it in terms of the design. And that's what we are looking at, is a rich, integrated life, rather than people having short spells, contacting people and then somehow drifting away and nothing much coming of it. Certainly those people who find a way to develop community, to involve themselves with others in community, and through their giving and volunteering, extend themselves, they have the richest rewards very often. And although that isn't something that's highly celebrated in a conscious way in New Zealand, I think it's something we're going more out of our way to do these days, and it's more acceptable. Now, one of the things that is really crucial to help break down social isolation, to actually encourage people back into connecting when they've disconnected, to give people hope that they can belong, they don't have to isolate themselves, is not only places like the Hub, but it's also organisations like Grey Power and so on. And we've had recently quite a few people ring us and say, oh, I'd really like to join Grey Power. But if you ask them why, they're not totally sure. They just think it's something they should do at this time in their life. So we're happy to be there for you. And I wish you all the best over Christmas. This isn't our last program of the year, but we are drawing towards the end. So I'd like to play a track from Andre Bocelli and just chill out and enjoy this music.
Comprende lo que sufro yo. Canto, pues ya no puedo sollozar. Solo, temblando de ansiedad estoy. Todos me miran y se van. Dios habla, pregúntale si yo alguna vez te he dejado de adorar. Y el mar, espejo de mi corazón, las veces que me ha visto llorar la perfidia de tu amor. Te he buscado donde quiera que yo voy y no te puedo hallar. ¿Para qué quiero otros besos si tus labios no me quieren ya besar?
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.